And so, like, last episode, I'm going to stay as spoiler-free as I can because I failed miserably in the Wheel of Time episode. But
did that go up anywhere?
I don't know. I have not seen it. I think Luke probably, I thought he may have aired it.
I'll yell at him for it tomorrow. I haven't seen it come up yet.
Okay.
I wasn't looking, though.
But last episode, can you hear me? Hello, Jamie.
I can hear you.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
I can hear you.
So last episode, there is a development between two characters that has been in the fandom for a hell of a long time.
Yes. Well, it's been in the books too. They use a specific
it
term.
It is. Yes. They use a specific term.
That means
and
what
something,
it means.
It means what it means. And Robert Jordan has even gone on his personal blog to say this is what that term means.
Mm-hmm.
But Robert Jordan, though he's my favorite author, he sucked at writing romance. He'd got a few home runs, but he sucked at writing romance in general. People can disagree with me on that, but that's my personal feelings on it. And so he comes up with this term, right? But he never explicitly states anything. And you can also argue, too, that because of the content and because of the time that these books came out, any type of writing things up with the explicit letter can stop his career prematurely. A person can argue that. Anyway, mm-hmm. something happens between two characters, and it's written in the prologue book. It mm-hmm. is very, in my mind, in my eyes, very canon.
Yes.
And a lot of people would also agree it's canon, but because he never explicitly says X equals Y, then there are some people that are just like, nope, and I don't like it, and I will never like it, and blah, 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 blah. And then it got so bad that this guy, Night's Watch, on his channel cuts in and he says, I was recently made aware that Brandon Sanderson had said that this episode was his favorite episode. I am convinced he saw a different cut or a different script because there is no way he would like this episode as it stands. And I just recently saw a podcast, basically a video podcast of Brandon Sanderson and Dan Wells. Dan Wells is a friend of mine. Him and I worked together at the FanX convention. We've run charities together. Brandon Sanderson came and visited. He donated some stuff for a charity. But Brandon Sanderson was saying, oh yeah, 4, 5, and 6 are my favorite episodes by far.
Four, five, and six?
4, 5, and 6, but 6 is his favorite of those three.
Hmm.
But basically, like, the episode we were talking about is in that grouping of three.
Yes.
And he, it's like, dude, the Night's Watch guy, you don't know what you are talking about. His watch has ended. He doesn't know how to watch.
He never started.
The dude never picked up the watch. He never looked out. No, he says some of the most, like, horrendously, like, just ignorant things. He in another episode review, he goes off and he starts saying stuff like, "Well, I guess all these characters are gay now," and yeah, because
I agree with that.
Well, it's like bisexuality is a thing, right? Like, come on, man. And he also starts making like these wacky, I don't even want to really get into it because it's not video games related. Again, he's a drug that in very small quantities, I feel so good because I can laugh at him.
It's like your Yakuza cake.
Yes, it's like my Yakuza cake. I just want to tell him, die mad, bitch. And then but after like 5 or 10 minutes, I have to turn him off because he starts to give me a headache. But Brandon Sanderson made a good point, too. He was like, listen, this not very many things get several adaptations. Like, it's very rare for a Spider-Man or a Batman to come along. It's like, more than likely, like, the Dune adaptation we just got was extremely rare. Like,
yes.
For a second adaptation. For a long time, Dune fans only had...
Second adaptation? Second?
You didn't know about the first one?
Oh, there is more than two, sir.
Oh, yes. Dune has multiple, right? Right. Yeah. No, that you're absolutely right with that. I was referring to movies, but obviously TV show as well. Oh. Okay. but anyways, the point that he was trying to get at is like, you know, if there is another readaptation, it's not going to come out for 30, 40 years. Some of us may not even be around. Just love it for what it is. Because he's like, honestly, by imagining it the way how you described to me, Ryab, mm-hmm. was like really good, like for Brandon Sanderson. He's like, I love the show now that I think of it in that terms.
Yeah.
Of another turning. So I was like, okay, mm-hmm. cool. Anyways. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Push My Buttons. I am drinking rum. I am your dungeon master, Mike.
You didn't gag on that one.
No, I didn't.
Ryan would.
Well,
be
the last
to
time
that.
Last time I was breathing in as I was drinking, which wasn't a.
Did
good.
Did you forget how to drink?
Kind of. I think I was. I think I was talking. Well, the last. Wait, did I cough on the Wheel of Time one? The Wheel of Time episode. I don't remember.
I don't know.
But I did cough on the last episode, which was Voltorb Has a Woody, episode 50. And I was breathing.
I have not listened to this episode. Let me check my podcatcher.
It has not aired yet, but it will. What else? Yeah, guys, it is a wonderful night tonight. You want to know why?
Do tell.
It's, hold on. It's, Christmas Eve.
Nope. there is no Activision Blizzard news. That's why it's a wonderful night.
Oh, thank God.
Yes. I am joined with two miraculous, wonderful hosts tonight. We will go with the, it's always hard doing this through podcast land. Because when you're like physically around people, it's easy to say on my left I have, and then you guys know what direction.
And in our app, it's not like our names are in the same order on each one of our screens either. Because we did that on Nerddome once, and we're like the next one down, and then two of us spoke at the same time. We're like, wait a minute.
Yeah. So what the habit I try to get into is I say like the first syllable of your name. Hopefully that we catch on, and it's been successful so far. But we have the uncanny. That's more like three syllables, but
hi, I am Uncanny Ryab, and I am here for you.
Oh, it's so wonderful to see you again.
You can see me? I thought I turned my cameras off.
In my mind's eye, I can see you.
He's watching you through your cell phone camera.
Yeah. That's time to get that electrical tape.
Yep. I knew someone in grad school, over every single device that had a camera, he had electrical tape over the camera lens.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I almost want to say you're overtly paranoid, but at the same time, I don't know. It's kind of scary.
Oh, or covertly paranoid. Huh?
Covertly. Mm-hmm. And we are also joined with
Captain Platinum.
Mm-hmm. It's so nice to see or to hear you all again tonight.
What have you been platinuming today?
Nothing. I have been platinuming Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes. It's the only thing I've played today.
I don't remember there being trophies in that game.
I was joking, because the only thing I played. I am frustrated, though, because CG, in their infinite wisdom, likes to whore out all of their events that are going on now. So Territory War, you can only get to from the guild screen, which I never click on anymore.
What does that mean, whore out, in this context?
I was just about to ask that exact question.
So on the when you go on the main screen, remember on the right side of the screen, it used to be like there's events and whatever? So normally Territory War is there, but now it's like, they're like, this event is going on. Oh, by the way, this special event is going on for double drops on this thing. And then there's like Grand Arena's going on, and then they're also trying to push onto you the Hyperdrive bundle. So Territory War is going on, but that is hidden on the Guild tab page. So, and I missed doing defense. So they have changed the rules that if you don't get 50 banners in Territory War, you get no rewards for this war. So rewards came out today, and I had a message saying I only had 44 out of 50 banners because I didn't place any defense, and I could only attack three teams because I only have three GLs, and now CG made it that only a GL can beat a GL in most cases. Like, you may get lucky in a few other instances, but I don't have those teams or the ability to do it. So I did my three attacks and had 44 points. So they're like, you got 44 out of 50 points, you get no rewards. And I was so mad. But what do you do? So because they were hiding it, my guild decided to make a few other people deploy a little bit more. So, but yeah, that is all I've been playing today, Ryan. Oh.
Who's tapping on their keyboards?
Oh, that was me. I thought I was muted. Damn it.
Nope, you are.
It was like.
Just typing in a password.
And then it became the.
Oh yeah.
But there's this ongoing gag at work in that I could be perfectly quiet in a meeting, and then somebody will be like, "We can hear Ryan on because they can hear me typing furiously."
Yep, that happens. I have some fun news.
News.
I got some fun news.
I missed my cue.
I don't know how to. I mean, like, it's hard to do it like this. Let's jump into some news. I have been playing a lot of Final Fantasy Endwalker. And
you've been able to get into the server?
Well, this is what I do. I work 100% from home, and my work computer is 10 feet away from my home computer. So what I do is I log on at 7 in the morning, and I just move my character every 20 minutes so that I don't get booted off the server for being AFK. And then when I'm on break or when I'm on lunch or when I'm off work, then I jump on and play. So I kind of reserve my spot in the server. And actually, I'm doing that right now. In fact, I just went back to the game just to move my character around so he doesn't get booted out from the server.
So how long have you been logged on continuously?
I'm on 13 hours. Nice. I have not played 13 hours. I played probably like a continuous 2 hours. But I have been logged on for a total of 13 hours. Luckily, though, so it's funny because I'll log in at like 7 in the morning. And between like 7 in the morning to like 10, there's like a queue of like 30 people to 100 people. Right at around like 11 o'clock is when it gets into the couple hundreds. And right around like 1 o'clock, it gets close to 1,000. Beyond 1 o'clock, it's like 1,500 people or more in queue. So even if I do, because it's in the middle of the workday, even if I don't get to my keyboard back in time and I get kicked out, I can just log back in and look over my computer every 10 minutes to see where I'm at in the queue. And then just kind of like start again. So I have done that, but it's because so many people have been wanting to play Endwalker, and with so many disgruntled players from WoW coming over, it's really quite interesting just how like beyond capacity Endwalker is at, and they can't really like they can't create new servers because of the semiconductor shortage, thanks to COVID. Mm-hmm. And a variety of other conditions.
It's really sad that COVID just destroyed all the silicon mines.
Oh yeah, I'm sending Ryab a picture of something that I linked in the podcast chat, but this is pretty much our news article. Ryab, when you see that photo I sent you over Messenger, I want to get your audible reaction.
We are full.
So Final Fantasy 14 has gotten so full they have stopped selling the game on all platforms.
They've digitally sold out. There is no more bits left.
Yes, they are digitally sold out. So this picture that I sent Ryan and the rest of the podcast chat, it has the Final Fantasy 14 Endwalker login screen with the fonts and everything. But instead of it saying Endwalker Final Fantasy 14, it says play something else. Fuck out of here. We are full. So it's they're literally saying to everyone, like, hey, we're giving you 21 days of free game time. So we almost got like a free month out of it. And they're saying we are not selling any more game copies of games so that we don't continually overburden the service. Because Final Fantasy 14 has actually got a new boost of players because of a certain event called the Game Awards. Which Final Fantasy 14 was a contender for the best ongoing game. And the games that it was next to, I actually don't remember, except for one contestant, because I found someone on Twitter just bitching about it, and it absolutely surprised me. But it was a contender against Fortnite. And Final Fantasy 14 had won, and all the Fortnite players have thrown a goddamn fit. It is so just... I want to read a tweet that I retweeted yesterday. I responded to. If I can find it, maybe I saved it in my files. This is so professional.
When I listen to it too, like, it's great that when I just listen to you fumbling through your computer for a specific screenshot that you took.
Yeah,
it's kind of funny. It's
like here it is. Okay. Joke now. So I said, I hope everyone who voted for this bum-ass nerd game gets every single possession stolen from them. It should have been Fortnite, all caps. Fortnite should have won. Nobody cares about Nerd Fantasy 14. Nobody cares about Endwalker. It's all lame as shit. Fortnite should have won that. Angry as fuck, Final Fantasy 14. Fuck your lame-ass video game. It should have been Fortnite. If you say it was deserved, I will fucking find you and I will fucking hit you with a metal spoon. I hate you. I fucking hate you. Like, that was an actual Twitter rant that I found. Because a lot of Fortnite players are super angry. And then, essentially, I retweeted
and
this.
Fortnite and Fortnite players also happen to be super vocal.
Yeah, they are. Well, I mean, a lot of it has to do with age, right? Like, I'm not saying there aren't any adult Fortnite players. But, like,
They're uncommon.
They're uncommon. And don't get me wrong, Fortnite is a fun game. When I was in high school, the game of choice was this online game called Gunbound. And the idea, it was a Korean game, and it was essentially, have you ever played Worms?
Yes.
So it was basically a Korean version of Worms. You're in this little tank, and you can customize the tank. You can give it certain types of weapons. You can level up your weapons. You can give yourself a ton of cosmetics. And you essentially play a game of Worms. You try to knock your player – you try to knock the opponents off the screen. Mm-hmm. And that was the game everyone played in my high school. But then again, I was in an area of Los Angeles that was highly, highly populated by Asians and Koreans and Chinese from Hong Kong and mainland and Taiwan. And that was just the game that they all played. So I played it. And so, like, Fortnite is kind of in that position. It's kind of this generation's game to play when you're in high school and stuff. And so they don't know that these awards are bullshit. So I just kind of retweeted it. And I'm like, I cannot conceive of a reason to get this upset because your game did not win a bullshit pretend award. Your game is your game is still there. Go enjoy it. Be peaceful or something like that. And then the kid couldn't like stop, so he responded. He's like, "No, the game is gone. My grandmother died." And, like, I don't know. Like, it was just like they were so upset that Final Fantasy 14 won. And you know what their metric, a lot of the reasons why, I'm going to assume they're kids, the reason why these kids say that Fortnite should have won and that it was fixed was because they're going on Twitch. This is all a news story, by the way. And multiple places have kind of looked it up and showed like what was going on. These kids will go to Twitch and they will see the most streamed games. Okay? I don't really go on Twitch a whole bunch except for like having something on in the background, but even then, not a whole bunch. Twitch isn't really my platform, but they see that like Fortnite has like millions of consecutive viewers, right? You may have like 1,000 channels, but there are 1 million people watching those 1,000 channels.
Mm-hmm.
But Final Fantasy 14 has like in the tens of thousands, right? And so they're like, look at the discrepancy between the amount of people that watch Fortnite versus the amount of people that watch Final Fantasy 14. It's obviously rigged. Fortnite is more popular. Twitch is the only metric we need. And it's like, you don't understand that Final Fantasy 14 is a story-based game. And when you watch someone play it, you may potentially spoil story for yourself. Like, Final Fantasy 14 streamers are behind the current game because people don't want story to be spoiled for them unless they put up a notice saying, I'm not doing story. I'm doing class quests. I'm doing side quests. I am doing PvP. Unless they state that explicitly, no one watches it. No one wants to watch it because the people that are in that consumer base do not want the story spoiled because it is a story-based online game. Fortnite, it isn't. If you can't play Fortnite, you stream Fortnite because your experience is going to be pretty much the same. Not only that, you gain certain things from streaming Fortnite. People are learning how to play the game. But it's, you know, that's like their metric for saying that Final Fantasy 14 should have lost. It's just kind of funny. But anyway, Final Fantasy 14 is so clogged with new players that I have had queue times of like 5,000 people at one point. There is a screenshot going around of 21,000 people in queue simultaneously.
Have they published how many people can be on at the same time?
They have. I don't remember the numbers, but the I said there was no Activision Blizzard news, and there isn't. But it cannot be.
What do you mean? But there isn't. But
Final Fantasy 14 has done things completely opposite of Activision Blizzard, and that's and that's the normal thing when it comes to. When it comes to Final Fantasy 14 and how it's doing, people can't help but reflect. Like on WoW, because at least in the United States, World of Warcraft has been king for 15 years. Yes. And so whatever the company, whatever Square Enix does that's different than Activision Blizzard, it gets compared. And so like months ahead of time, the creator of Square Enix and the producers of the game and the director for the game said, we are going to hit queue times and there's nothing we can do because of reason X, Y, and Z. And we are trying... We are hoping that you will have no glitches. That's the best goal, but it will be completely clogged. And we will be giving away rewards for how long it takes for us to overcome this problem. And like every single week, they have put out a new apology letter, essentially saying nothing has changed. No information has been really updated. We are trying in these areas, but it really is going to take time until people start to calm down from playing the game. And that's not going to happen until some people start completing the main story. The most we can do is delay when the big patch update comes out by like a month or so. But like that's pretty much all they can really say because they're really trying their best. And it gets compared to Activision Blizzard, who they keep their lips shut and they don't do anything. And they update parts of the game that has to do with the lawsuit and not the actual game itself, which causes people to leave and crowds our servers even more. So it's just like Square Enix, I think, is handling it very well compared to Activision Blizzard and their WoW problems. That's the news I wanted to bring up. And we're 24 minutes in.
End rant. No, that's yeah. I don't really have an opinion. I don't play a lot of MMOs. It's sucky that they can't, that if everybody wants to get on the game and it's like the super popular and they got free game time and stuff like that, they can't. But, yeah.
Because you have to think, like, at some point, like, if new players come on, they're, like, it's a meme that Final Fantasy 14 is free up until the end of the first expansion, Heavensward. Like, that's an actual meme. But you still have to pay for monthly game time, right? Mm-hmm. So when all these new players come on and they want to give Final Fantasy 14 a shot without putting any dollars down, the more free game time they're passing out, that's essentially like a huge chunk of server space that people are getting for free. They're not paying for the game, and they're going to get like free game time. So they're going, like, they are, you got a whole contingent of people in the server that are not adding monetarily to the game. So they're like, okay, we've given out enough free stuff. We need to cut this new delusion, new players, until we figure something out. But yeah, it's kind of clogged. Time to go move my character a little bit.
It has been about 20 minutes.
Yep. Okay, I moved him. I got the away from.
And then there's people like Mike that are stealing time from other people.
Yes. All right. So that's the end of my news story.
MMOs are always a little. I'm a completionist, as much like Jamie. So MMOs are a little overwhelming for me because they never end. By design. Yeah.
You know, here's the odd thing with World of Warcraft versus Final Fantasy 14. So they have an achievement system in both games, right? That way you can kind of track completion. Completionists on games that are super like open. Completionists tend to love achievements because achievements are a way to track completion of a game. Mm-hmm. But because MMOs by design are not like never end, you have to kind of focus in certain areas of the game. One area that lots of completionists like to focus on in Final Fantasy 14 is to raise all classes to max level, which isn't as hard as you think. I actually just started a new class about a week and a half ago. And right now I'm at current content with that current class. Like, it's not that bad. There's a lot of classes, and it will take a considerable amount of hours to do that with every single class. But if you're a completionist, you have to focus on sections of the game at a time until you're satisfied and then move on to a different section. But you'll never complete everything on Final Fantasy 14 or WoW for that matter.
I played the Old Republic for a long time, for several years. And I got to the point where I just wasn't playing anything else because I'm like, I want to complete the story for every class. And there were six classes at the time. And I was going through and I got a lot of the way through some of the classes' stories. And I'm like, if I do this, I'm never going to play anything else. And I had to stop.
And that is a good reason to stop.
Yeah. I've just never gotten into MMOs. I guess kind of same as Ryan, or I've never been a PC gamer either.
Yeah. PC is kind of a whole different beast. You know what's really opening up the PC? PC gaming has always been viable. But something that has really made PC gaming even more attractive is the Xbox Game Pass. Like, I have that app on my computer, and each time I turn my computer on, the Xbox Game Pass pops on and says, you can play these games for free. And they're like AAA games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow. Because I just subscribe. I think it was like $5 a month. And I get all these games I can download and play for free.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a completionist nightmare.
But yeah, it is a very good marketing strategy, I think. I think it's a really good, and it's kind of revolutionized a little bit. And Xbox is really cool because it's Microsoft, because it works both on Xbox and on PC. So I think that was pretty ingenious of them, and switching stuff to a monthly subscription where you get a certain amount of games. It doesn't work for me because I don't play that many games. I just play one game and I finish it, and I play another game and I finish it, and I play another game and I finish it. I don't ever bounce between games. So that's not appealing for me, but I definitely see the appeal and the value in it for other people.
Mm-hmm. Any news that you guys want to bring up, Jamie? You put up something that was pretty interesting.
The one I just posted right before this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to read that, but I was intrigued by it. So let me bring up the article. I got to scroll down. I had scrolled up to see what other stories we had posted this week. So the story that Mike's talking about is on Kotaku. It was posted yesterday. CD Projekt settles Cyberpunk 2077 lawsuit and will pay $1.85 million.
The point of, or not the point, but the big, I guess the point of contention, right, is that CD Projekt Red launched Cyberpunk 2077 in such a disastrous state that it was unplayable.
Yep.
And basically, these are damages, which I know that can sound frivolous, right? But damages is kind of an umbrella term for a variety of things. Basically, people paid a certain amount for a product, and definitely in Australia, the Australian government was like, no, this, you're breaking our laws by releasing it this way. So I need to read the article in more detail, but essentially it was they were selling a defective product, and Cyberpunk 2077 was so bad that it can be considered a defective product, which is hard for digital games. Like, it's really easy to consider something that you buy at a store, something physical, defective. But for digital content, the laws of the world haven't really caught up with that, and B, by the time an evaluation goes through, it can be patched. So, I mean, it's faster moving, but at the same time, it doesn't stop people. I mean, like, it's what stopped me from finishing the game was just how bad the bugs were. I'm actually planning on getting back to it once some free expansions drop.
Yeah, it's not me from playing it just altogether. I was like, well, if they're going to be patching it for a while, I might as well play something else.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying, but yeah, I can just read the... It was, they argued that, one, Cyberpunk 2077 was virtually unplayable on current generation Xbox or PlayStation systems due to an enormous number of bugs. Two, as a result, Sony would remove Cyberpunk 2077 from the PlayStation Store, and Sony, Microsoft, and CG Projekt Red would be forced to offer full refunds for the game. Three, consequently, CD Projekt would suffer reputational and pecuniary harm. And four, as a result, defendant's statements about its business operations and prospects were materially false and misleading and or lacked a reasonable basis at all relevant times. So then basically they're saying then the investors suffer damage. So there's a lot going on in the article, but it looks like they're going to have to pay out a good chunk of money.
Yeah, but I think it's really weird to say that Cyberpunk 2077 is definitely a financial success, which is really weird when you consider what it was like 1 year ago. It came out 1 year ago. And I feel like Cyberpunk... Like, there was an article that actually was just released, I think, last week that said Cyberpunk 2077 is finally, like, in a state that's not only playable, but it's enjoyable. Because, and that particular article said something like, aside from the bugs, which, like, a lot of them have been patched out, and new content has been patched in, they said that, like, Cyberpunk 2077 was sold as an RPG, and it really should not have been sold as an RPG. So once you kind of get out of that mindset, they said that 2077 was a fun enough game to actually go all the way to completion, and it did seem kind of overall like kind of a redefining of the first person shooter genre. But it was marketed wrong. It was faulty marketing, and it was just a faulty product altogether. It's really tragic because financially, CD Projekt Red made out like a bandit, but it really was kind of a disaster for a launch. So at least they're paying something.
My boyfriend and I were shopping the other day. We were in a store, and there was a discount game bin. I happened to be sorting through it, and there was a Cyberpunk 2021 for $10, and I started laughing really loudly in the middle of a store.
Yeah, 2077 has hit $10 several times this holiday season.
It wasn't like the discount, like it wasn't like a holiday sale. It was just a clearance that we want to get rid of these games.
What system was it for?
It was the, I think there was a PlayStation one and an Xbox one in there.
That's funny.
Yeah, I believe GameStop's had it a couple times for $10. Yeah, they have been trying to get rid of this game.
And it's that's the odd thing. It reminds me of Mass Effect Andromeda. Where Mass Effect, I have not played Mass Effect Andromeda. I haven't even finished the original trilogy. I own the Legendary Edition, and I still haven't finished the trilogy. But
there's a, I've noticed something about you, Mike. There is a I've listened. I have binged all of the episodes of this podcast, and I've grown to know you both more deeply than I did before. But I don't think you've ever finished a game that you've talked about other than the Yakuza game. I can't remember you talking about finishing any game. You always talk about, I am pausing. Yep, that was another one. Sorry. You always talk about how you're pausing a game to go to a different game. And then you say, I'm going to come back to this game. And then you never hear about it again.
Yep.
I finished Battletech. Battletech kept my attention. And I did pause it and go back to it. You know what? You're absolutely right. I think I need to pick up Legend of Heroes again. Because Legend of Heroes was so delightful. I don't know why I stopped that game. It was really a delightful game. I need to go back and play that game. I consider Reset Tier, which was one of the more recent games
it's
I
pronounced
talked about.
Reset.
Reset Tier? Do you know that game?
No, I'm just teasing you.
Oh, okay. The one where you were in an item shop? I am purposely putting that game down because it scratched the itch that the mobile game woke up in me. And now I don't have that itch anymore. So I'm like, okay, I am done with that game. I will not say I'm pausing it so it doesn't go on my backlog. And I have not put down Dragon Quest yet. Still playing Dragon Quest 5 and 10 or 11. Yeah, 10's the online game. So I'm still playing those games. Yep. I need to pick up Legend of Heroes, though. I do feel bad that I haven't finished that game yet. What were we talking about?
We were talking about Mass Effect Andromeda. And oh, Jamie, yes. you mentioned that you weren't going to play Cyberpunk until it was patched. I, because of the way I play games, didn't get to Mass Effect Andromeda, didn't even get to Mass Effect Andromeda until way after it was patched. And it was delightful. But I did go through and Google some of the bugs that were in it, and they were delightful, particularly the melting people. It was hilarious.
I remember you showing me that, and like the person is just like dissolving. My brother, he bought Mass Effect and Andromeda for the PlayStation 4, and then he disconnected his PlayStation 4 from the internet so he can play the 1.0 version. Mm-hmm. And he's like, the most annoying bug was the T posing that just happened everywhere in the game. So because the moment your PlayStation, your PlayStation has Andromeda on the console and it's in a sense is internet, it will automatically begin to update it. It's one of those mm-hmm. things where it's like most games will ask you if you want to update it, but Andromeda is like a mandatory download. You will not play the game until it's patched. But Cyberpunk 2077 reminds me of Mass Effect Andromeda, where per your, and I'm going strictly off of your account, it's such a good game, but you can see where, like, if the bugs weren't an issue, you can see where it may not have caught on mm-hmm. as the original trilogy, but it's by no means a bad game. Mm-hmm. But because it was released in such a state that it marred that game's reputation, and so it will go down in history as a horrible game, but the game itself really is fine. And I feel like Cyberpunk 2077 is the same. The game itself is fun, but it suffers from an overhypedness. It suffers from bugginess. It suffers from a huge plethora of problems. If you were to consider those problems fixed, the game is just fine as it is. There was a news outlet called Rock Paper Shotgun, and they dared to like a year before Cyberpunk 2077 came out, is when I was still living in Utah, they released an article saying that they didn't think Cyberpunk 2077 was going to be that good. Albeit some of their reasons were weird. They claimed the game was being racist towards black people when they failed to recognize the fact that Cyberpunk 2077's creator is himself black, and the creator of the tabletop RPG is black, and two white guys were accusing it of racism. And the creators are just like, really? Tell us more about that. So they had some really weird takes, but they were talking about some aspects of the mechanics and how it didn't seem right to them. And people also tore them and put them over the fire because of that. And they were right. They were right about some of the things. No one just really wanted to admit it because they were taken in by the marketing. So, yeah, it's one of this lawsuit coming back to 2077 is... it's long coming, I feel. So any other news stories, anybody, or does anyone have any comments about that one?
Go ahead, Ryan.
I was gonna ask if you guys had done anything with the Matrix Awakens.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, did you want to go back to have something to say about the Cyberpunk stuff before we left, Jamie?
Nope. Left that topic. I had something else to bring up, but we can go with yours.
Have you done anything with Matrix Awakens, Jamie?
I have not.
So they released... I am super stoked about the new Matrix movie. And a weird thing popped up on my Xbox little app. And it's just like, hey, Matrix Awakens is available for download. And I'm like, oh, what is this? And it's like the Matrix Awakens experience. And I thought it was going to be a game. It's kind of a game. It is more of a demo for the Unreal 3 engine? The new Unreal engine?
Unreal 5, I think, right?
5? I don't know. Number. Unreal, latest number here. Engine. But it's super cool. So you download it, and it is basically Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss talking a little bit about the movie. And I'm watching it, and then there is a little tiny gameplay in it. It's not very intense gameplay, but it's mostly just showing off the capabilities of this new engine and its rendering and graphics and stuff like that, and the capabilities of your next-gen console. It took me a while to realize that Keanu Reeves was not actually... it was just his voice. It was a digital rendering of Keanu Reeves. And I didn't notice it until he started walking. And I was like, wait a minute, that's not actually a person. And it was real good. And there's like close-ups on his face. And I did not distinguish it from a not actually him. It was really cool. It's really interesting.
Nice.
Are there trophies and achievements for this?
No, there are not. There's barely any gameplay, and it's really dinky gameplay. Like, you just kind of move your joystick to make your cursor go in the general direction of a target and shoot. And then at one point, it becomes kind of open worldy, and then you can walk around a rendering of a city, a very, very detailed, lovingly rendered rendering of a city, and just kind of walk around and play with, like, you can get in cars and drive around and play with, like, the damage mechanics and stuff like that, and fly and stuff of that nature, but it's not anything else than that.
It sounds cool. I'm definitely hyped for the movie, and I may check that out.
It's worth a watch. It's only a few minutes. Depending on how much you want to play in the open world thing, you could play in that indefinitely, but I only played in for a few minutes.
Very cool. I was going to bring up, looks like, I believe these would both be Ubisoft. One is the Splinter Cell remake was announced for Ubisoft Toronto. I did play the original. I never finished it because I was in grad school. Nope, just undergrad when that came out, undergrad school. I think it was a junior. So I thought it was kind of cool that they finally announced that Splinter Cell is going to get a remake. I don't know how you guys feel about those games.
I've never played any of the Splinter Cell games. I always viewed them as like a rival to Metal Gear Solid, and I was a Metal Gear Solid fanboy.
Mm-hmm. I've never played them either.
That's fine. So that's point. Way to have nothing to talk about for that.
That's the fine.
This is the one I sent this to Ryab the other day, and he didn't respond to me when I sent this.
I'm sorry, I've had a busy week. What was? Let me review.
I swear I sent this to you.
Oh, the Assassin's Creed thing.
Yes,
the crossover. I didn't look at it.
There was a free new DLC where we see Cassandra and Ivar face off, and they explained how
it's going to be. Odyssey is something I'm going to be playing over the holiday.
Odyssey is another game I haven't finished, but but the amount of time that I did play with it was fantastic. It was such a fun game.
It is in your defense, Mike, as far as the podcast go, you and Jamie seem to both balance each other out quite nicely because you list all the games that you put on pause and Jamie lists all the games he's completed, so it does kind of equal out.
Jamie is just a better person.
Oh, that's funny.
So is the DLC for Odyssey or for Valhalla? I would assume it's Valhalla.
Yeah, we'll be able to play with one story in Odyssey and one in Valhalla.
They released DLC for Odyssey, a several-year-old game. That's pretty cool.
It says, launching tomorrow, this free DLC will be available to download and play with one story in Assassin's Creed Odyssey and one in Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and this was 4 days ago. So
that's really cool.
Yeah, so I was curious of your thought on that, because you're a big Assassin's Creed guy.
I'm very curious about that, because we've never seen... Well, I scratched that. We have seen two... I don't know the term for the people that you play two ancestor memories interact before with Ezio and
Altair.
Yes, thank you. My brain went blank. So we have seen them interact in a game before, but this would be like only the second time that that's happened. So that's kind of cool. They've never really battled each other that much before. So I think this is going to be awesome. I really like the main characters. I really like this. I'm excited to see where the story goes. I've only finished Origins, but I loved it. It reignited my love affair with Assassin's Creed. I was falling out of love with them, but I was OCD still playing them because I'm a completionist and weird like that. But yeah, I'm excited for any Assassin's Creed content. I like this new era of Assassin's Creed. Super concerned about the next era, though. I don't know if I'm going to be playing the next era of Assassin's Creed.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So there's they haven't released much information, but it's the next Assassin's Creed will be very different as far as release strategy and stuff like that. It's going to be a kind of almost like a pay-to-play MMO type release where you have a game and then you'll just get DLC for it, and it's just going to be like a one that you play, and it'll span all stories, supposedly, so all eras of Assassin's Creed. You can go and play different campaigns and stuff, but it's just like it'll be more MMO style, which is what's deterring me a lot. From what I understand, there hasn't been much news.
I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the slightest. But I guess I can kind of see it, right? So when you look at Odyssey and you look... I haven't played Origins, but I heard Origins is similar to Odyssey and Valhalla. Those games are practically the same as far as mechanics go.
Yeah, yeah. But a very, very... So this trilogy of games, Origins, Odyssey, and Valhalla, is built like a trilogy. It's very, very, very different mechanic-wise than the previous generation, which was Unity and the other ones that I've forgotten. What are they? What are they, Jamie?
Oh gosh, Rogue and Unity and Black Flag. What's the other one?
But those are still more like the classical Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, style. There's like one kind of its own game, then two and 2.5 3 and 2.5 and 2.9 are kind of there a different game, and then there was the Black Flag and those Rogue, that kind of era.
Together, right?
Black Flag. Rogue and Black Flag were basically the same game, just a different story.
Right, and then Odyssey had lots of RPG elements in it, and that I really liked that structure and how that game worked. I thought that was just a lot of fun. It also helps that I'm a huge fan of Greek mythology and the Greek setting.
Yeah, I'm super excited to play Odyssey. I was super excited to play Origins because I absolutely love Egyptian mythology. I love Greek and Roman mythology. Norse mythology is not my strongest point, but I love all kinds of mythology. I love those kind of ancient stories and those kind of things. So I'm super excited about all of that, but really excited about the Atlantis pieces of Odyssey that I've seen.
Yeah, those are for Odyssey. So that's I'm really stoked for that. But yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Syndicate. That was the other one. I hated Unity. I liked Syndicate.
Yeah, I could not remember Syndicate. That was the London one?
Yeah. Lots of train riding in Syndicate.
I think that was the majority of the news I think we found this week. There. Oh, Mike, I posted one other one today that I thought you might find interesting. That Blizzard, the headline was Blizzard is rebalancing Diablo 2 classes for the first time in nearly 11 years.
I don't.
Okay.
No, yeah. Okay, so let's talk about that just really quick.
Because you're the dungeon guy, so that's...
Yes, yeah, so Diablo 2, I think you'll remember, Ryab, that I played... So there's two versions of Diablo 2 that I play. One I like a lot more than the other. So Diablo 2 Classic, and then there's a modded version of Diablo 2. I tried going through the classic version of Diablo 2, and I can see why it was so good, why people loved it back in 2001. Mm-hmm. But perhaps I have been spoiled with mechanics, or perhaps I need more than two buttons to be like the main the main mechanic of the game.
Why you gotta be so extra?
I'm not trying to be extra. I loved Diablo 1. I don't remember.
Diablo 1 only had one button.
Yeah, I don't remember my gameplay experience. I played Diablo 1 on the PlayStation 1, and I cheated the hell out of it. because it was on the PlayStation 1, you can have a character file and a Diablo game file. And the Diablo game file was something like 10 blocks. So for those of you who are not dinosaur bone ancient, yes, the PlayStation 1 saved games in a really odd way. And this method of saving games was carried... Actually, it carries over into the Switch still, I think. But the idea is that your memory cards have a certain amount of blocks. They didn't want to deal with like kilobytes and megabytes at the time, because I don't know, but I would guess that would be too confusing to say that your game file will take up... 512 kilobytes, but this game file takes a
people had megabyte. No idea what that even meant back then.
Right. So what they did was they gave you a memory card, and this memory card had, 3 megabytes on it or something
oh,
like that.
It no, oh no. Disk. You just Googled because they figured this would come up. And it was 128 kilobytes, the original memory card for PS1.
Okay, there you go. I have 128 kilobytes. I can download that in half a second on my computer now. But what they did was they divided that up into 15 blocks or 20 blocks. And as back then, your games would say, this takes up 4 blocks of memory.
Each block was 8 kilobytes.
Right, and so like... Instead of telling you how many kilobytes, it was like it take up this many blocks. And that was a lot easier to remember now, especially as a kid. For me, it wouldn't have been that big of a problem because I was programming back then. But for like the conventional customer, I guess it like that really helped out. And so Diablo 2
I'm guessing, I can't remember how many blocks a PlayStation 1 memory card actually had. I'm sure it was a variety of them. But I'm just going to throw a number out there. Let's say 15 blocks. The PlayStation 1 memory card had 15, quote, blocks. And the Diablo 1 game took up 10 of those, which was massive.
You're very close. It had 16 blocks.
16 blocks. Okay, and the Diablo 1 file took up 10 or 12 of them.
Oh, I'm sorry. You were right the first time. The very first block was a header block used as a directory, and that left 15 blocks for data storage. So you were right the first time. I'm sorry.
Oh, cool. I was right. And so the game file was 10 blocks, and your character file was 1 block. So what I would do is I would save the game and save my character file on the same memory card, and I would drop my gold on the floor with my brother playing Player 2, and my brother would pick up all of my gold. He would save his character, but not my character, and reset the game. And then he'd take all of his gold and drop it on the floor.
Did you two come up with this on your own?
Yes, we did.
This is awesome.
And then I would pick up all the gold and save my game. So now I have all of my previous saves gold and this new gold and save my character. But he wouldn't save his character. We restart it and he'd have the same amount. And we would double our – actually, no. That's more than doubling our gold because we're keeping the same amount from before. So we were more than doubling our gold. So we ended up twinking out our characters with like the best stuff we can buy at every single stage of the game. So perhaps that increased my enjoyment of the game. I don't remember the mechanics of it, but I got through Diablo 1. When I played Diablo 2 just recently, I couldn't get through it. It was so monotonous. I can see why it was great back then. And I'm not saying that people who think this is their favorite game, notice I use the word think. I'm not criticizing you.
You're obviously incorrect if you think this is your favorite game.
I'm just giving you a backhand.
Obviously not your favorite game.
But I can see why it was so popular. For me, I couldn't do it. The Diablo 2 mod that I talk about all the time, like that game I feel like has a lot more going for it. Why did I even bring up the story?
Because I brought it up to get you
about
Diablo.
Oh yeah, it's rebalancing the classes. This is good news. It's needed.
Okay, Jamie, how many blocks does it take to save a game nowadays after they've rebalanced it?
I don't know. Too many.
So it's funny because the classes, I mean, like Diablo 2 is so old, you can go and you can look up and say best class for Diablo 2 and you will get the Hammered In. You will get like a couple of other options, and then you say best PvP class, and those are all established, which means like even if you do that once, you can't role play the character you want to play in your head because you already know that you're working at suboptimal levels. It did need some balancing. So that's good news. The one class I wanted to see rebalanced was the Druid, because the Druid was like a jack of all trades but master none. It could transform and be good physical, but it will never top the barbarian. Or you can go more of the magical route, but it can never top the sorceress. Or you can do a different route, but it would never top like the necromancer or the assassin. So like it was, I hope the druid got buffed, but I'm not going to play him, so I don't care.
Sounds like modern druids anyway.
Yeah. but yeah, we're coming up on the end of our time. Let's talk about really quick about the games that we are playing. Captain Platinum, what are you playing right now?
I haven't touched really anything. Still just Pokemon Pearl. And then I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to play on PS5. I have Ninja Gaiden to finish, so I may try to knock that out this weekend since I got a little bit of free time.
Cool.
I have a lot in queue, though. I have Guardians of the Galaxy now in queue, so I kind of want to hop over to that because I've heard some good things. So I may stream that on Twitch when I get to that. Ryab, what have you been playing, sir?
This week I will finish the Mass Effect Legendary Edition. I am only 2 missions away from the end. Whoa, dog.
Is that a good game? Whoa, dog.
Yeah, he's yeah, it's a great game. It's a husky throwing his toy at me.
or I was going to say, maybe that's a mission in Mass Effect Legendary.
Yeah. Whoa, dog. This weekend, there is... I think there's a community day this weekend in Pokemon Go, I think.
I think tomorrow, yeah.
I think tomorrow, it is tomorrow. I forget what Pokemon it is.
I don't remember. I did see a notification today.
There'll be that. After I finish the Mass Effect, I am going to... I think I'm going to play Vader Immortal on the PlayStation VR. I think that's the next game I'm going to play. And then I'm also going to probably finish Sword and Shield this holiday break because... we got the diamonds and the pearls, and then we got Arceus, I think, today.
Arceus should be January, end of January.
Oh, maybe not. Chase said I thought we got something today. I can't remember. But yeah.
Arceus goes end of January.
Okay, never mind. Obviously wasn't that then. I said something that sounded like Arceus that shipped today. Anyway, it was something else, obviously. But yeah, that's kind of what I've been playing. And then after I finish Vader Immortal, I don't know what I want to play. I was thinking, I want to start Odyssey. But Odyssey is like a 220-hour game. But I also need to finish Ultimate Alliance 3 on my Switch. I want to play Link's Awakening. I want to play Skyward Sword. I want to play Breath of the Wild. I want to play some Zeldas. I have Death Stranding I need to play. Super Smash Brothers.
Death Stranding is a game that I'm pretty interested in trying out. Now mm-hmm. that the director's cut is out.
Mm. I want to play Detroit Become Human. I started that a long time ago, and then I pulled a mic, and I never went back to it.
I feel you. And I still need to finish Paper Mario the Origami King. I've got all the things to play.
And Mike, I still have to play all the Dragon Age games.
Yeah, you got to play Dragon Age.
Now that they've done... to immense success, the Mass Effect Legendary Edition, do you think they're going to give Dragon Age the same treatment?
Yes, especially since Dragon Age 4 is going to be coming out. The Legendary Edition, I think... Okay, here's the odd thing. Mass Effect and Dragon Age take place in the same universe.
Yes, I knew that.
But they take place in different time periods, but they're in the same universe, which is odd because that means our Earth is in the same... Yeah, so because Dragon Age 4 is coming out, I think they would be amiss to not remaster it, especially since those games take, I would say, more. Now, I've only played up to Mass Effect 2, but I've played all of Dragon Age 1, 2, and 3. But I would say more of the decisions from Dragon Age 1 and 2 influence the outcome of 3. More so than Mass Effect 1 and 2.
Mm.
At least the decisions that went from Mass Effect 1 into 2. Dragon Age 1, the decisions that went into Dragon Age 2 aren't a whole bunch, but they do affect Dragon Age 3 a tremendous amount. I think because it follows that same structure, and it's in the same universe, and they're making a new game, which has been scrapped, I think, 3 times now. I think they would be amiss to not re-release them. Because as it stands right now, you can play Dragon Age 1, you can import your file into Dragon Age 2, but then if you're going to play Dragon Age 3, because it's on a brand new engine, you have to use a web client to make the same decisions that you did in your previous game to import into your third Dragon Age game.
That's interesting.
Yes, that's how they fixed it, because Dragon Age 1 and 2 were on the PlayStation 3,
mm-hmm.
and then PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, and though Dragon Age 3 was also on the PlayStation 3, it was mainly a PlayStation 4 game, but even for the PlayStation 3 version, you had to download the results from your questionnaire online, because that's how much of your decisions impact kind of like how the story goes.
Hmm.
I honestly just think... they need to stop that because it's such a crazy branching decision path. I think a legendary.
No, I think they should do more of that, and I think actually like games like Detroit Become Human, kind of reinvented that in a really good way too. I think that kind of thing, and it just enhances replayability. There are people that have been playing Mass Effect this whole time, and just replaying it over and over and over again, making new decisions just to see what happens. Because some of them, I mean, granted, it, the very end, it kind of, it doesn't really impact a lot. But there are a lot of things along the way that do impact other minor outcomes.
See, that's, I guess I'm thinking more from like a software developer point of view, because if they're not going to make the end of your story reflect a lot of the decisions that you've made, then what's the point? I don't know. That's just my opinion.
It's not about the destination. It's about the fun you have along the way.
Yes, that's true. I will acquiesce to that. For me, I have been playing Endwalker, Final Fantasy 14. I just moved my character again. And
what are you going to do when you have to go sleep?
Then I will log in at 7 in the morning.
You should invest in a mouse jiggler.
Those exist?
Yeah.
Why shouldn't they exist? That's like the simplest thing. The thing too is like I'm trying to be like power conscious, so I do turn off everything except for my heater, because we're over here in the East Coast where like the cold is very humid. But my house is completely, I don't, my computer soaks up a lot of power. So but yeah, mouse jiggler would work for like throughout the day. So yeah. I've just been playing Final Fantasy 14 Endwalker. I just reached a new era in Dragon Quest V. So Dragon Quest V, for those of you who don't know, if you've played a Dragon Quest, it is it's one of the more like story-based Dragon Quests. You play the same character from childhood at age 6 until they are like in their 30s. And also, like, they're not the main, like, the character that you play is not the main character of the story. So it takes a completely different take on the Dragon Quest genre, which made JRPGs. And I am thoroughly enjoying it. I've just reached a new era where my character is in their 30s, which means I'm at the last one third of the game. And Dragon Quest X, I've picked that back up and I'm resuming it, and it's just as delightful. The story is not as compelling to me as Dragon Quest V is, but because it takes place on the Switch and because it's fully voice acted, the story is a little bit more detailed than Dragon Quest V. But I am playing that and playing with a couple of other, the Discord channel that I'm a part of. And I need to pick up Legend of Heroes because I feel really bad that I put that down and I haven't picked it back up. And I totally intend to get through the series, which is a multi-JRPG series. Which, by the way, they announced a new entry into that series. So I'm like,
holy... A new entry?
Yes. It's... Oh, man. Which is going to be another 30 to 40 hour game. So, I mean, I fully...
That's attempted. Nothing. That's jump change. That's a day.
Yes. That's a day. That's 2 days. Day and a half. I need to get through the first entry. But yeah, I will be picking that up this week again. So mark my words, when we come back... Oh, by the way, next week is Christmas. The following week is New Year's. So it may be a few weeks before we make a recording, which means that by the time you guys get this one, we'll record again. However, by the time I come back, I will give you a report on how far I made it through Legend of Heroes 1.
I look forward to hearing your report, sir.
Yes, yes, I will. I am excited to give it to you.
yeah, you are.
I think, yes. Oh, also, Uncanny Ryab and I, at some point, Ryab, I think we've already discussed this, we're going to have a spoiler cast on World of Warcraft, on Wheel of Time, since the season is coming to an end.
Yes.
So we will be talking at length about it, and I cannot wait. So yeah, expect that too.
I'm very excited to watch today's. Very, very, very excited to watch today's.
Oh man, text me when
I don't trust you.
Text me.
You're not allowed to speak.
Okay, but before we log off, I'm just gonna say this cold open.
No, stop talking.
Was my favorite.
I don't trust you.
I'm not gonna say anything, but this cold open was my favorite. All right. That's all I got. Does anyone else want to bring any?
That's all you got, you said.
No. One more thing. This is podcast business.
No more things.
The Geek Nerd Network. Everyone knows that we are a part of that. But
this is GNN.
GNN. We need to do a better job at advertising our fellow podcasts. So
yeah,
I
do. You want to promote them?
Yes, I do want to promote them. Chelsea and Noel Go to Hell, friends of this podcast. I'm especially good friends with Chelsea. They have a new episode coming up. By the time you guys hear this episode, their episode will be old. But it's Shen Yun, which is that Chinese acrobatic production that goes around the country and is currently in Baltimore and was in Utah for like 6 months. They have a new episode about that and tons of other neat stuff. I love their podcast. They are also part of GNN. Go take a listen to Chelsea Noel Go to Hell. And GNN Network, podcast networks.
Yes. All that. There's also Tales from the Comic Shop. There's also Kiss Your Franchise Goodbye. There's also a K-pop one. I forget the name of. I'm sorry. There's many of them.
There's many of them. That's kind of like a New Year's resolution as well.
Fortress of Comictude.
We've got to advertise our GNN friends and relatives a lot better than what we have been doing. So we will be doing that. Anything that we want to say before we log off?
I think we're good, man. I hope everyone has a good holiday.
You're wrong, Captain Planet. What is that thing we always say when we log off?
Hey, I was making sure no one else had anything else. Hey, everybody, make sure during the break here we game harder.
With cheers. With holiday cheer.
Game harder with cheer.
Yes.
All right. We will talk to you guys later. Have a happy new year.
Right. Happy end of year celebrations.
Yes. Happy Festivus.
And Yule. Okay.
And Yule. Burn a Yule log for me.
Yeah, you've got Kwanzaa.
And Kwanzaa. Okay. Bye, everyone.